VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Well, thank you for joining us for a very provocative program today, getting you to think about what's going on in our society today. As you know, cities, counties, and states across this country are mandating the wearing of masks. Some have full implementation. Others are on the brink of an impending mask mandate. So we must ask the question, what is the truth about masks? Do they even work? Will they really block COVID-19? Are there possible harms from wearing masks? Is the wearing of masks sound science, or is it just an emotional feel-good measure? Well, we're going to be delving into these issues today as we welcome back Twyla Braes, the president and co-founder of Citizens Council for Health Freedom. Twyla is a registered nurse. She is author of Big Brother in the Exam Room, The Dangerous Truth About Electronic Health Records. She's the speaker in the Daily Health Freedom Minute on stations across the country. Twyla, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
I'm glad to be back here. Thanks, Jim.
Let's begin just by hitting reverse on our vehicle here just a bit. When we first began hearing about the coronavirus and all the shutdowns and all that was beginning, we heard the term flatten the curve. Can you remind us what did that mean, flattening the curve, as it was told us back then?
So consider the entire epidemic, however long it's going to last, all the people it's going to strike, et cetera. It's like taking the entire epidemic, which they made look like a bell curve, right? And they said, we're going to flatten it. We're going to press it down so that rather than having it go up really high and then come down over a shorter period of time, we're going to flatten it, which is going to spread out the two sides and make it more like a low hill. And so the whole idea was that not that we would stop the virus, but that we would give the virus we would make it spread more slowly and therefore give hospitals more time to prepare with whatever they needed, staff, you know, ICU rooms, whatever it was, right, to be prepared for COVID-19 patients to come in. And so this is supposed to be kind of a limited thing, this flatten the curve, because as soon as hospitals were all ready, then that wasn't supposed to just be maintained, you know, ad infinitum.
Yeah, it seems what we're trying to do, though, is to keep the length of this thing going rather than see that, you know, the bell shape come down and go away.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And from the very, very beginning, there were epidemiologists that asked questions or warned with things like this. Well, if you do a severe lockdown, then what's going to be your criteria to come out of it? How is this going to work? And, you know, I think their statements are coming true. One of the epidemiologists, Dr. John Ioannidis, he called it the domino effect. He said once you've locked down, then you feel like the next thing you have to do has to be a little bit more severe. And then the next thing a little bit more severe, a little bit more stringent. Up, up, up it goes in severity of the lockdown, because you feel like if you back up at all, somebody's going to accuse you for not doing enough. And so it's just, you know, once you start it, it's hard to stop it.
Wow. Well, Twyla, the state of Minnesota, of which you're in right now, perhaps the next state considering a mask mandate, and other states, counties, or cities have issued mask mandates. You're a registered nurse, and you indicate that doing a statewide mask mandate is wrong. Tell us why.
Well, it's not backed up by science, and you can find this a lot of different places. The World Health Organization says there's no evidence to support community-wide masking. The epidemiology team at the University of Minnesota says there isn't. There's a study that is in the only study on medical masks versus cloth masks, says that a medical mask, which is what they have in hospitals, they prevent 44% of, let's make sure I got that number right, 44% of particles from coming through. But a cloth mask prevents only 3%. So 97% of particles can come through a cloth mask. And then, of course, one thing that Dr. Mike Osterholm, who's the former interim director of the CDC and part of that University of Minnesota team, it's his division. He would just say, you know, it's kind of aerosolized, and so it comes through 100% on the top, the sides, the bottom, everywhere, that it's not, you know, tightly fitted to the face like N95 would be. And I think, you know, I should probably make that clear. There's three types of masks. There's the N95, and it's also called a respirator. And those are fit to your face, and the whole idea is that nothing comes in, nothing at all comes in. So they use them in, you know, construction. They use them in really in the hospitals and in certain situations. And then there's medical masks, and that's, you know, what they use in surgery to make sure if they sneeze while they're holding retractors, that the full sneeze goes into the mask.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the cloth mask, which is, you know, this thing that everybody's walking around with now. And so the cloth mask doesn't have any kind of, you know, prevention really to it.
Well, this is really amazing because, I mean, we're being told, you know, make cloth masks, get these out there. But you're saying even the World Health Organization has come out talking about not wearing masks?
Oh, the World Health Organization had a guidance, April 5th, I think it was. And they had the strongest language against the mask and community masking in that one. And then I think they bowed to a little bit of pressure, and then they said, okay, Mel, maybe there's situations where you're going to want to just because of individual use. And it's sort of like, because people kind of want this to happen, we're going to say, okay, mask. However, what they say is that, there's no evidence that it works. No evidence that it works. And they also provide potential harms and disadvantages. Yeah. On using the mask. That's not out there, but that's really what they've said that.
We're going to get into the harms in a bit, but let me ask, were masks effective in stopping like the Spanish flu from 1918?
No, so Dr. Osterholm talks about that, and there have been at least three studies, and one, it wasn't effective. One study found out it wasn't effective because nobody wore them the way they had to be worn. People don't even understand that if you're going to wear a mask and you're going to hope it's even going to work, despite the fact of hearing this 97% where, you know, particles come through it, right? If you're even going to hope it's going to work and that you aren't going to contaminate yourself, there are special ways to take it off, special ways to put it on. You never will hang it in your car. You won't put it in your purse. You won't put it in your pocket. You'll wash it every day. You won't touch the front of it. So you'll never adjust it like you see everybody adjusting it now. So they found out that that was one of the reasons it didn't work, but two other studies found it just didn't work. And then Dr. Osterholm, who is also the former state epidemiologist in Minnesota, he talked about Hubei, China. So Hubei, China is like the most masked population during this entire thing, and as he said, it didn't make a difference. Because this is the tiniest little virus. It's very, very, very tiny. 0.125 microns. And so, you know, it's around. It's going to go. If you got anything except, you know, something that's tightly to your face and, you're never around anybody anywhere. I mean, he says he told his daughter, who is she's the director of the neonatal intensive care at the University of Minnesota. And he told her, unless you have an N95 mask, you have no protection. He says that twice in this one podcast, right? There's no protection. And so, you know, it's just that people are thinking they feel better.
Well,
if they've done something.
And this is what's so confusing, because we so often hear the word science put out there saying, you know, the science tells us we need to wear a mask, or those who refuse masks are anti-science. We've got hospitals and personnel doing public service announcements to wear the mask and protect one another. You're saying this is just a farce?
Right. There are no studies. There are no studies. And Dr. Osterholm again says he's really like, he says he's gotten terrible emails, you know, from people who just want him to not say that. He wears a mask himself, but he says, you know, I don't even know why he wears a mask, but he has hardly left his home at all. So maybe if you're trying to leave his home, he's not leaving it. But he says, distance, distance, distance. You want to protect yourself? Distance, distance, distance. Hmm. And do the hand washing. But, you know, they can't point. And he looks at some of these studies that are coming out, and he goes, they're modeling. These aren't studies with data. They're modeling things. And you know what we've perhaps talked about early in this epidemic is the models that said 2.2 million people, Americans, were going to die, right?
Right.
And then they had to quickly shift that little model when people came out and went, what? Wasn't peer-reviewed. You know, nobody could figure out how they ever came up with the data. Then they had to change it, reduce it significantly, right? And so it's all being modeled. It's not actual data that says it's really true. And the one study says, in comparison with the medical and the cloth, you know, it lets 97% of the particles through.
Twyla Bray's with us here today on Crosstalk and discussing the truth about masks and mask mandates. Twyla, earlier you mentioned harms or potential consequences from wearing masks. Tell us about those.
Yeah, so I think that the World Health Organization has one of the best lists of those harms, and so they actually list 11 different harms and potential harms and risks, including self. Well, I guess I should give the one that has to do with the cloth mask because that's what we're really talking about
right
here. And so, in their harms and potential risks there are the increased risk of self-contamination due to manipulation of a face mask and subsequently touching the eyes with contaminated hands. So just stop for a second and just think of everybody you've watched with the face mask and how many times they touch it, push it up, push it down, mm-hmm. you know, whatever they're doing, right? And then potential headache or breathing difficulties, potential development of facial skin lesions, irritant dermatitis or worsening acne, difficulty with communicating, discomfort, a false sense of security. And Dr. Ostrom talks about this too. It's like people are going to be doing things that are going to put them in harm's way, and they're going to think because they've got a mask on that they're protected. So they won't do the distance, and they won't do the hand washing because they'll think, as long as I got the mask on, you know, I'm good to go. Then the children, of course, is a difficulty with getting them to wear a mask. The idea that everything that you breathe towards yourself goes through the mask and you touch the outside of your mask, right? And then there's this whole thing about bacteria building up inside the mask because it gets moist, right? And then a lot of people get headaches because, right, you're supposed to have this free exchange of air because you have to exhale carbon dioxide and you have to inhale oxygen, and you've got this thing now completely between you and the air that you have to go through, and the carbon dioxide is going to hang out there and a little heavier, you know, than the oxygen than it should be.
Twyla Bray's with us today. The truth about masks and mask mandates. More information following the break. Folks, it's amazing because we have so many communities and counties and states mandating masks and now businesses as well. More discussion after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, why is helium so much lighter than the other gases?
Chris, helium is lighter because it's a smaller atom, far smaller than any other gas except hydrogen. There's a very interesting lesson we can learn from this. We know how many atoms of helium are out there from a direct observation. We also know how fast helium is produced below the Earth's surface and how fast it enters the atmosphere. By doing simple division, we can see that all of the helium that's in the atmosphere would get here in a rather short period of time, far too short to have allowed for evolution to occur. Once again, Chris, we see that the scientific evidence supports the biblical way of thinking and not the evolution way of thinking. Back to Genesis wins again.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
We'll be right back. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Twyla Braze is with us today. She is the president and co-founder of Citizens Council for Health Freedom. Their website, cchfreedom.org, cchfreedom.org. Twyla, we're talking about the masks and mask mandates, and even there's been some flip-flopping happening by the World Health Organization, but you have found some information that they have stated. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so I just want to tell you from their guidance what they say. They say, quote, at the present time, the widespread use of masks by healthy people in the community setting is not yet supported by high quality or direct scientific evidence, and there are potential benefits and harms to consider. And then, of course, they list the 11 mentioned.
Wow. Now, we see all kinds of politicians that are very vocal on this. But are there people in the medical profession? You've given us some, but by and large, are we just seeing hospitals and doctors capitulate to the mask wearing, or are there those that are speaking out?
I think that's pretty true, that the big organized groups are sort of just going with this. It's almost like they're watching this very scared public who is becoming, you know, more and more afraid because of how the media talks about cases in particular, where you shouldn't be afraid of cases. I know that sounds counterintuitive, but it's actually not. And so, you know, we're at a fevered pitch here. We have fear at a fevered pitch. And so there are individual physicians. There's certainly this Center for Infectious Respiratory Diseases that Dr. Osterholm runs at the University of Minnesota, who has stayed pretty clear about this, kind of refused to bow on it, and done a whole bunch of podcasts that have transcripts and podcasts to watch and all saying this. But a lot of the individuals who are saying that aren't getting a lot of traction. It's really, you know, all the businesses are capitulating. Kristi Noem, Governor Kristi Noem in South Dakota has really, yeah. If you go to South Dakota and you go to North Dakota, you'd hardly know that COVID was happening.
Yeah.
Because you can't hardly see a mask around anywhere.
Twyla, every night we put on news and we're given the daily numbers. There's many hundred cases today and we're told about this spike that's going on constantly. And there are many who advocate that wearing masks are critical due to the spike of coronavirus, and we get these numbers every night. Could you comment on why this spike that they keep referring to?
Yes. So I would just encourage all of your listeners to just Google COVID death rates.
Yes.
COVID death rates. And then when they do that, they can put in the United States, they can put in their own state, they can put it in for cases or deaths. Those are your two options that come up through Google. And then you can see your own state, or you can see the United States. You can see what it looks like. But the thing you have to understand about the spikes, there are several things. One, there's a whole lot more testing being done. So people are being found, even though they're asymptomatic, even though they're mild, even though if you hadn't ever tested them, you wouldn't ever know. There's probably a lot of people we're never going to test that already had it before we even knew that we had COVID-19 on our shores. And then there's this thing called probable cases that the CDC approved, and they said, you know, there's 15 different ways that somebody can become a probable case, even though they've never been confirmed at all to have COVID-19. Their probable case status can now be commingled with confirmed cases,
wow,
making the spike look higher. And when the Collin County commissioners were meeting about this, and they were very concerned because there was they sensed that there would be a 17-fold increase, and that people would be concerned that the pandemic was coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can see what happened in San Antonio just a few days ago, where San Antonio had to take about 3,500 people off of their cases because they're only probable cases, and yet Texas had decided to commingle them. So it's kind of interesting. I'm not even sure who got to them, who said, you know, what's going on here, and then they decided to split them out. But some states are splitting them out, some aren't, some are not reporting probable cases because, you know, Governor Cuomo is, no matter what you think of him, he said in a very interesting thing about this whole deal. He said, you know, probable cases are not confirmed cases. We've had lots of people with probable COVID, and they didn't have COVID. So So he said New York is not doing that. But some states are. There's about half the states that are.
But at the same time,
the spikes could happen from that.
Yeah, at the same time, though, he had a number of people put on the death numbers who had not been tested positive for COVID.
That's true, too. And so we have all these. That's the other thing that the CDC also agreed was these probable deaths. And so you don't even have to test them to know that they died of COVID or had COVID or any COVID.
And
you can just assume.
And that really leads us to, can we trust the death counts of COVID-19? I ask that because we've got people counted as COVID deaths, never tested. We've had people dying collisions that were initially counted as being a COVID death. And here in the state of Wisconsin, we've got a group called the MacIver Institute just reported this past Saturday saying that 81% of all COVID-19 deaths are comorbidities, meaning 81% had two or more diseases at the same time. For instance, like somebody with kidney disease and coronavirus who dies, they're considered comorbid. But of the 833 deaths when they did this report July 17th, 81% were comorbid, 18% are unknown, only 1%, only 12 deaths in Wisconsin directly from COVID-19. We're not being told this story, Twyla.
No, we're not being told this story. And I think that the director of the Illinois Department of Health said it the best, and I am paraphrasing her, but some child died, and some reporter in this press conference asked if it was from COVID, and she said, well, now you need to understand how we define a COVID death. She said, you know, you could be terminal and expected to die in 2 weeks, and if you are discovered to have COVID, we count that a COVID death.
Yeah.
We could know that you died of an alternative condition, but you had COVID when you died. And so we consider that a COVID death.
Wow.
So the whole thing is, are you dying from COVID or are you dying with COVID?
Yes.
Because a lot of people dying with COVID and they may be totally asymptomatic.
And a matter of fact,
I
know there's many allegations of the cooking of the books on this. Pinning deaths unrelated to COVID-19 as being COVID. There's a case in Oklahoma right now where a family is fighting a COVID death determination after their father died of Alzheimer's, but he also contracted then coronavirus, but it's not because of the coronavirus he died because of Alzheimer's, and we understand there's cases like this happening in many places.
Right, and I don't, you know, it's partially who puts it on the death certificate, right?
Yeah.
And so the hospitals, according to the third coronavirus bill out of Congress, the one that had the most money of all, they provide hospitals, it's around $13,000 for any COVID death, and it's around a little bit more than $39,000 for anyone who is put on the, for any Medicare patient who is put on the respirator, right? So there is a great incentive to count people as COVID deaths.
Yeah.
Because then there's more money to be made.
Twyla, we're seeing some cities, county, states putting the enforcement mechanism, masking enforcement, on businesses. I mean, businesses are at risk of being fined if there are mask violators in their place of business.
Yes, that's true. And a lot of this is coming from executive orders and probably from the emergency management laws in every state. And then, of course, there are things that the counties and the cities are doing. Now, you may have – so we got a whole hodgepodge around the country. We have the governor of Georgia who is suing the mayor of Atlanta because he banned face masks, and she mandated face masks in Atlanta. And so, you know, so we got that kind of thing that's going on, too. And I think that people are just afraid, and the elected officials are deciding to, you know, go with it. But, you know, some people, you know, I don't know if it has something to do with just covering the masses or, you know, building the fear all the way. Who's doing the most against coronavirus, even though they expect that the majority of us are going to get it in some way, shape, or form, right? I guess, you know, the thing to know, the really wonderful thing to know, is not only are probably most people not dying of coronavirus, I don't think anybody really understands yet, but I don't think we really know how many are and aren't. But what we do know is that the doctors are really figuring out better and better and better what to do when you get it. But that is not getting enough publication in the news. Everything from using, cortisone types of treatments to the hydroxychloroquine, which that's its own story about how government interferes in the practice of medicine to the detriment of patients, but it's still there and doctors are still using it and saving patients to the moving away from the ventilators now and figuring out really it's less of a lung disease than a vascular disease that comes through the lungs. But at the end of the day, the biggest destruction that it does somewhat relates to the blood vessels, the capillaries themselves throughout the body. And so, it is truly a mysterious disease. It can be very, very severe, and people are dying from it. Thankfully, the majority of people will not.
Yeah.
And they will not, they'll hardly even know, or they won't know that they had it.
Yeah, and like I say, the study from MacIver Institute here in the state of Wisconsin, only 1% of the deaths, truly COVID only. Twyla, let me ask you this. If you forced every man, every woman, every child to wear a mask in this nation, would the coronavirus disappear?
No, and that is what Dr. Osterholm talked about is in Hubei, China, the most masked population in the world. And he said it did not make a difference. They're all publicly masked, right? It did not make a difference. But what it will do, I think one of the biggest things is particularly for people who have problems breathing. And then what's the mask made of? So for some people, what's the chemicals? There are, in some of these masks, there are chemicals, right, that people are inhaling. There are fibers that people are inhaling. There are people who really panic anytime you put something like that over their nose and mouth. They panic. I know people have told me. They panic. They get a panic attack, right? And so they're trying to get groceries. And Walmart is now saying, nope, not without a mask. And Aldi is now saying, nope, not without a mask. And I guess there'll be a whole lot more, drive up and get your groceries kind of things going on. But there are a lot of people who are they're crossing state lines. Here in Minnesota, they're crossing to Hudson, Wisconsin. They're crossing to Fargo, North Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They're going to where freedom is. And I think, this is so false. And it is so wrong for the news media to not talk about the other side. I'm very happy about Mike Osterholm and his division at the University of Minnesota who have really kind of kept up the whole thing and saying it's not sound science. They put it out. It's not sound science. They put it in April. They put it back out in December and said, we've been asked to take this down, but they're not.
Mm-hmm.
And they have all their reasons why. And so we can be happy for real scientists. Real scientists who say, this doesn't work and all of these people are going to be impacted by this in so many different ways. Even children. So apparently I was just reading something about little children looking at all these people in masks, like babies, right? That it's kind of scary.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if that's been proven, but it's an interesting little thing to hear about.
We're going to take a quick break. What can people do? Twyla's going to address that after the break. We'll also be taking your questions, your comments, brief comments, a question at 800-733-9829. 800-733-9829. Twyla Braes is with us from the Citizens Council for Health Freedom. We'll be right back.
From Ray Comfort and Living Waters comes the dramatic film Audacity, tackling a very divisive issue today, homosexuality. Challenged by a co-worker to defend his convictions about homosexuality and same-sex marriage, Peter has to consider if he has the courage to stand for what he believes, even at the risk of losing a friendship. How will he respond when faced with a harrowing life or death experience? Audacity uses a unique approach to address a very contemporary issue and challenges the viewer to reach out and approach the greatest spiritual need everyone faces. Audacity is a 55-minute powerful dramatic film that will impact your life. Get your copy of Audacity for a donation of $5 or 5 copies for a donation of $18. 10 copies for $25 when you call 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
Oh, our phone lines are packed out here right away. We'll get to your calls in a moment. Twyla Braze is with us from Citizens Council for Health Freedom. Twyla, many ask, you know, here I am. It seems like this, it's like a stone rolling down a hill. It's not a stone, it's a boulder. It's coming so fast. It's rolling through city councils and county boards and state legislatures. How can I make a difference? What do you recommend people do?
Yes, well, I think it's difficult, and we can be thankful for the states who haven't done anything yet. But I think there's, you got to do your very best to inform everybody that you know about what the facts are. So our organization is putting out regular COVID update videos. Video number 21 is all about masks. Video number 20 that's all about masks. 21 is about this whole probable cases business, and 22 is about schools and why schools should reopen. So we got a whole bunch, and you can share them and share them broadly because people need to hear this. They need to know what the truth is, and that's how people are sharing things these days, is through Twitter and through social media and Facebook. And so I just encourage you to go to the Facebook and find us at CCH Freedom, CCH Freedom. And we also have documents, you know, things that I talk about in the video, then I put them up as documents, mm-hmm. and those can be shared as well. And then, you know, I recommend two things. Just look up Michael Osterholm and COVID and masks, and you'll be able to read them and share them around yourself. And then go to a place called unheard.com, U-N-H-E-R-D, like don't follow the herd, unheard.com. Comes out of England. He is talking with epidemiologists, virologists, Nobel laureates, everyone about this whole thing. And you will hear perspectives that our news never talks about from people who are in the know about viruses and how they work.
Okay, again, that's Unheard, and Heard is like a herd of cattle, H-E-R-D,
right.
unheard.com. And you said that Michael, was that Osterholm?
Osterholm, yep.
Okay.
And just Michael Osterholm, COVID, mass, and
okay.
A whole bunch of things will come up.
Great. Twyla, we've got a number of calls. We'll intersperse some other information, but let's get to the phone lines. From Milwaukee, we have Al calling. Al, you're on the air.
Hi, I just want to make a comment. There's a website called knowledgeofhealth.com, and author Bill Sardi has a lot of information about the coronavirus, and he backs it up with all these hyperlinks and documents. So, I mean, it's really well researched, and he's got a lot of good information about all this stuff.
Thank you, Al. Twyla, I know that there's been efforts, even a part of social media, you know, the YouTubes and Twitters and Facebook, to try and remove anything that doesn't meet World Health Organization guidelines.
Right. That, well, yes, or the CDC or whomever.
CDC,
that's
yeah.
true. Mm-hmm. And almost all of Unheard's stuff is still on YouTube. Only one didn't make it. Mm-hmm. One was taken off, and it's a really good doctor who is an advisor to the World Health Organization, talking about how many people are going to die if this lasts 6 months. 50,000 cancer patients are expected to die unnecessarily if the lockdown continues. That was his thing in England. That's what he expects in England, right?
My.
And so that's true. And so you have to just keep looking and keep it alive on other sites even.
Let's go to Elaine in Somerset, Ohio. You're on the air.
Hi, I'm grateful that you're doing this program. I will be ordering it because you're giving too much information for me to write down. My sister's daughter works in West Virginia Hospital, and she's only had one COVID. And my relative died of smoking, and they was contacted and said that they was offered money to say that he died of COVID. And so I just wondered if a lot of that isn't being encouraged by people paying them to say, you know, that they died of COVID. Thank you.
Thank you, Elaine. And Twyla commented this because I've heard this from other situations across the country, too, where somebody died of drowning and the hospital wanted to say it's a COVID death. And the family said, no, you know, it's this and the hospital, but we get more money if we call it a COVID death. Is there any truth to that?
Yes. Yep. That is the that's the $13,000 for the COVID patient and the $39,000+ for the COVID ventilated patient.
Oh.
And so, but it's I think it's funny, or interesting, maybe that would be the better word, the hospitals ask the families if they can. I mean, you know, a death certificate is supposed to be really, really precise. They aren't supposed to be guessing at things. They aren't supposed to be making things up, right? It's supposed to be actually what they died of. And so this kind of fudging around, you know, and playing games with, you know, what people died from is just really bad.
It's shameful. Bonnie in Two Harbors, Minnesota, you're on the air.
Hi, I have a question and a statement. I am going to buy a burka. I live in Minnesota where Twyla lives, and I'm going to actually buy a burka. I'm going to go wear it downtown, and I'm going to hold a sign that says, oppressive regimes force masks, because we are having to wear masks in Little Two Harbors.
Hmm.
And then my question is, since coronavirus has been around for many years, is it possible, Twyla, that the test results for COVID-19 may be showing an old version of coronavirus, or even a current version of a different form of coronavirus, and they could be just counting it as COVID-19.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Yes, so there are a variety of coronaviruses. I believe that they think that there are now 7 that they have discovered, and you could show antibodies for coronavirus, and it could be just the cold that you had, you know, previous cold. The whole thing about testing, and I'm glad Bonnie brought this up, the whole thing about testing. So the antibody tests are notoriously unreliable, and there's all sorts of people who will probably have COVID-19 who will never get to the point of having antibodies, so they would come up with a negative. But even some of the positives aren't necessarily positives because it's a different coronavirus that happens. And so this whole thing about testing, even the PCR test, which I think it's interesting. They say, you know, you probably have to be tested 3 times just to make sure that you really have it or really don't have it. Well, I guess it's more like that you don't have it. Because they did a study with 12 people who had died. And when they looked at those 12 people, all of them had COVID-19 in their lungs, but 3 of them did not have it in their throats. They didn't have it in their throats or nasopharynx anywhere. So if you did a PCR test on them, you would not find it. It was as though they didn't have it. You have to go all the way down into the lungs. So, you know, this is a little, COVID-19 is definitely not a cold coronavirus because it's a severe, mysterious disease. They're still trying to figure it out. But yes, the testing is all, you know, a bit up in the air.
Bonnie, thanks for the call. We're going next to Timothy in Albuquerque, New Mexico. You're on the air.
Yes. Hi, I have a question. I've heard it said that the virus is very small compared to the mask mesh, that it's like trying to stop a mosquito with a chain link fence. But my question is, doesn't the virus catch a ride on the water molecules or vapors in our, and then that's actually what's getting stopped. So basically the car or the bus that the virus takes a ride on is getting stopped by the mask. Not that I'm for wearing masks all the time or outside. I just think if you're 6 feet apart, you really don't need a mask. So anyhow, that's my question.
Okay. Twyla, are you able to respond to that?
Yeah, so there's different weave, and yes, it's a tiny little micron, and I don't think they know yet that it's being, you know, carried, as you're saying. If it's big droplets, yes, it could be in the big droplets, but there is some concern that it's just being aerosolized, so every time you breathe, it's just going out. And the fact that the cloth mask only stops 97% of any particles.
You mean, did you mean 3% that they stop?
Only stops 3. Sorry. Thank you so much. Yes. It lets 97% of them through, and of course around the sides it lets 100% of them through. Because as Dr. Osterholm says, that's the path of least resistance around the sides and, you know, any side of the mask. So, but the N95 mask has pores that are bigger than the coronavirus, which is only 0.125 microns. However, there's apparently an electrostatic charge that's put in that mask, which therefore traps it. So it does a better job than any of the other masks when it comes to coronavirus.
Hmm. Timothy, thank you. We're going to Cheryl next, Menominee, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. Thanks, Jim, for taking my call. I just want to encourage people this morning. I heard that some local grocery stores were starting to make us wear masks here in West Western Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And so I called up my local kind of family-owned grocery store and talked to the general manager. And he basically said, no, they were not going to, that he felt that there was a silent population out there that really didn't care to have to do that. Because my concern was, what if you can't wear a mask if you have health issues or, you know, and what are you supposed to do? Where are you supposed to get your groceries? And anyways, he was very polite, and I just encourage people to call their businesses and put in a good word. I also had emailed their company, and I got a reply right back, and the gal said that actually I was a breath of fresh air to hear from us, because they had been trying to decide what way to go, and so they really appreciate people's opinions. So
yeah.
I think it'd be really good if they could, you know, get out there and just make your voices known the best you can. So
thank you, Cheryl. Interesting point, because I know there are those who are pressuring businesses or shaming them if they don't do this. As Cheryl pointed out, though, Otuela, many, I know, for instance, communities like Milwaukee, they did put in a health exceptions clause in their ordinance, and I believe that's true in a number of states and counties as well.
That's correct, and so it's really important to look at your ordinance. Every last one of them needs to have a medical exemption to it, because there are people who absolutely cannot wear masks for their own, you know, medical conditions, including asthma and COPD and all sorts of other things that they cannot handle a mask.
Mm-hmm.
There was an OSHA expert who said, you know, everybody should say they have a medical exemption, because it's not good for you to be wearing a mask all day long, no matter what. And so, you know, people get to decide that. In Rochester, Minnesota, home of Mayo Clinic, their ordinance says that whoever that you have to take the word of the person who says they have a medical exemption. You don't get to, you know, police it. You don't get to try and give them, you know, ask them 20 questions to make sure it's true. You have to take the word for it. So it really does depend on the ordinance. But
yeah.
I do encourage people to do what she's saying, is you have to speak up at those meetings, or you have to speak up with your grocery store. You know, encourage them. Give them something so that they don't go that direction.
Yeah, you mentioned Rochester. Here's a call from just outside Rochester, Spring Valley, Minnesota. Gerald, you're on the air.
The city of Rochester, Minnesota, is penalizing businesses for not making their patrons wear masks.
Hmm.
This mask wearing is a superstition. I will suffer God's wrath for practicing superstition, so I won't abide by the rules.
Hmm.
What Bible verse says that God punishes the practice of superstition?
Okay. Yeah. not going to find that here, Gerald, but thank you for your call here today. And I know that it's a situation that what you're finding, Twyla, that in what you stated here through your comments, is that this is so often a feel-good measure, not a scientific measure taking place. We're up against a quick break. Back in 60 seconds, you're listening to Crosstalk. Our number, 800-733-9829. And to get on Twyla's email list and to stay informed, they've got lots of material on this whole matter on their website, cchfreedom.org, cchfreedom.org. We'll be back in a minute.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewreport.com. Jesus said to the religious leaders of his day that they could discern the weather, but they could not understand the times. The signs of the time are all about us. The stage is being set for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. Notice what I said. I'm not saying it's being fulfilled right now, but the stage is being set for it to come to pass. The signs are everywhere. Good will be called evil. Evil will be called good. Today, if you are a conservative Christian, you're now a racist. We see the falling apart of moral values. Even the ability to defend one's own home. Have you heard about the couple in St. Louis that defended their home against a Black Lives Matter mob? Well, now the governor of Missouri is saying he'll pardon them if they're charged. But why should they ever be charged? They didn't break the law. The state law allows them to defend their property. Gold and silver are hitting highs for the last several years. There's talk of digital currency and much more. Are you noticing the signs of the time?
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Twyla Braids is with us today from the Citizens Council for Health Freedom, cchfreedom.org, cchfreedom.org. Twyla, we keep hearing about all the massive rise in number of cases. You actually have a caution against those who want to be curiosity tested. Tell us about your caution.
Yeah, so there's a story out of Kentucky last night or this morning where this couple, she decided that she would get tested just because she was curious. I think she was traveling somewhere and she was just wanting to know, and she came back positive. And so somebody came and told her that she had to self-quarantine and she had to sign this paper. Well, she didn't want to sign the paper because she didn't like whatever the words were in the paper,
mm-hmm.
which included that she had to tell them or get their permission before she could go to the hospital. And she didn't want to sign that. And so they said, well, we're going to have to take this to a higher level. And so a few days later, arriving at their door are a bunch of vehicles with a bunch of uniform people, and they both are now wearing ankle bracelets so that if they go 200 feet beyond their home, it will beep and the police will be called.
Wow.
Yes.
And this was clear. They're just curious whether they had it or not, and they had no symptoms?
Right. And so I think it was that he didn't and she did, but they still, because now, of course, he's been with her, right? And so she said, you know, it wasn't that I wasn't willing to self-quarantine. It's just I didn't want to sign that paper.
Yeah.
And so now they're under house arrest. So, you know, don't test yourself. And if somebody calls you, you know, for contact tracing, saying, you know, your name came up and who have you been with, or, oh, look at this, you're positive. Who else have you been in contact with over the last 5 days? You know, think twice.
Well,
think twice as to whose name you want to give or even participate in.
Robert in Racine, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hi there. I only wear the N95s predominantly for working. You know, I cut grass. I don't wear it for cutting grass, but I do other handyman work. And you have to wear it to go to Menards. And I think yesterday I went into Menards, and as I went in, the greeter was saying something on the lines of, tomorrow you have to wear a mask, you know. But anyway, about 2 weeks ago, I received unordered, I didn't order them, about 3, 4, 5 masks in a package from China with Chinese address, Chinese name. I don't know if it was Jeff Bezos, you know, doing through Amazon from, you know, but it isn't announced on it anywhere why I got it. It's just interesting.
You just received masks that you did not order?
Hold on. Let me ask, we'll throw one more comment or question on medically. How would it be tested? Because you referred to the chemicals and particles.
How would what be tested?
A mask. That's not majorly why I called.
Okay. Well, let's get to your question because we don't have time for any more than that. But how do they test masks? How do we know, Twyla?
Actually, that is not something that I know. I think that would be just something you'd have to, you know, take a look at. You have to ask somebody, you know, that's in that business, and I don't know about that.
Okay, so you see this, the reports come forth from it, but not a scientist in that regard. Let's go to Marlon, Stevens Point. You're on the air.
Yes, I was wondering, the previous callers that talked about mask mandates, I was wondering where Twyla thinks the mandates are headed, like with health exceptions. You said they have to have a health exception. Do you think the government's going to start wanting, like, proof, like, I see it as ending up, like, show me your papers. You know, okay, what's your health exception? Or give me proof that you can mm-hmm. claim a health exception. I mean, there's just more government control.
Yeah.
Right. That's absolutely right. And the OSHA expert was saying that she was working on getting some kind of a medical form, you know, that might be possible to take around. But that's just a really bad idea when this is just, like, it doesn't really work. And so it's hard to say exactly where that will go, but I think much like the lockdown, where some of the experts, like in Sweden, who did not really do a lockdown, you know, the top expert there says, well, how are you going to get out of this thing? You know, what's going to be the criteria that gets you out of this thing?
Yeah.
So what's going to be the criteria that suddenly we all don't have to wear masks?
Yeah.
Right? Is there going to be a vaccine? Because there's probably no vaccine coming for a very long time, and nobody knows if it's going to work.
Yeah, and that's another whole topic in itself. But thank you for the call, Marla. And indeed, will they say, show me the papers. Pat in Madison, you're next.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. there were some people in Texas who went to get tested for COVID, and the line was too long, so they left. And then later, they received a letter stating that they had tested positive for COVID. And I was wondering, have you heard about this?
Hmm.
This is the third time, your comment, that I have heard about this. And I actually had a reporter call and ask me if I had heard about it. And I had heard about it. But I don't actually have any documentation. And usually until I have documentation, I just wait to see.
And Twyla, if somebody does have documentation, how can they get it to you?
Oh, they can just call us up, 651-646-8935, or they can go email us at info@cchfreedom.org, info@cchfreedom.org.
Again, the phone number.
Of course, they can mail it to us.
Yep, 651-646-8935. Thank you. Kathy in Ohio, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you so much for taking my call, and thank you both for all that you do. My question concerns pregnant women that have to wear the mask and what this will do to their babies.
Well, I guess lots of people say it doesn't diminish your oxygen at all, but I was just thinking about the guy just two calls ago, maybe, or two people ago, talking about the N95. So, under OSHA standards, you cannot be forced to wear an N95 mask until you have a medical evaluation and you have been fit tested. So they have to know that you will actually be able to breathe well under the mask.
We've got just 30 seconds here. She's probably talking about a cloth mask. Is there harm? Because it does decrease your oxygen. Is there harm for pregnant women wearing this?
I think people disagree on whether this decreases your oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. And it's not been said a whole lot about pregnant women. It's just in general about whether this is good or not. Whether it increases your carbon dioxide, which would increase the acidity in your blood. So there's just disagreements here.
Thank you, Kathy, for the call. I wish we had more time for calls because our lines have been packed, but we're out of time. Twyla Bray's with us. The website, cchfreedom.org. Again, you'll find their email contact, their phone contact there as well, and further information on this topic. Twyla, thank you for your research and helping to keep our listeners informed.
Thank you so much, Jim.
Twyla Bray's, and she is the president and co-founder of the Citizens Council for Health Freedom, and her daily on the Health Freedom Minute. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.